Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to be bouncing around all over creation today, but that's where the focus of our sermon's coming from. This is the last in our Abide series as we get ready for Easter. And I really, when everything started to come together and God started moving amongst all of our children in the last couple of weeks, I couldn't think of a better day than Palm Sunday to have a baptism, amen? And I couldn't think of a better way to shout Hosanna than to baptize 8 children. God's kids. Even Derek. God's kids. Today is Palm Sunday, which for the church is a very special day. It marks the beginning of Holy Week. And it was on this day that our Lord rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, just as the prophet Zechariah foretold. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You see, Jesus had been staying with some of his beloved friends in Bethany. The title of our message this morning is Friends, and you'll pick up why in just a few minutes. But Jesus had been staying with his friends in Bethany, and on the days leading up to his triumphant entry in Jerusalem, they had been celebrating Jesus, raising Lazarus from the dead and enjoying their friendship and spending time at one another's houses and just enjoying the last couple of weeks. But on this Sunday morning, however, there was a somber silence among his friends. You see, the time had come for him to leave and begin to make his way to Jerusalem. And while his friends and disciples may not have quite understood what lay ahead for him in Jerusalem, they knew by the way that he had been talking that it was going to be a difficult and dark situation. They knew the religious leaders were determined to arrest Jesus and even kill him. And they knew that Jesus was walking right into their hands. No doubt there were tearful goodbyes being said, and some of his friends were literally begging him not to leave but to stay. And it was just then that Jesus saw the children running down the road, coming to see him one last time, laughing and singing. No doubt some of them even jumping into his arms like they had done in the days previous. And when the disciples tried to stop them, because, you know, it's a serious day, Jesus literally got angry and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." You see, I believe that's when the mood of sorrow changed to joy as Jesus began to make his way out of town, laughing and singing and carrying the children on his back and laying his hands on them and blessing them. The mood lifted and people began to celebrate. The closer the group got to Jerusalem, the mood among the disciples began to lift and they began to sing and shout, praising the Lord. And the closer they got to Jerusalem, the larger the crowd became, and all joining in with the disciples. And before he arrived in Jerusalem, the crowd was so large that the chief priests and religious leaders claimed that all Jerusalem had gone out to meet him. What began as a somber, sorrowful day changed to rejoicing with the laughter of children. Today is that day. We celebrate Palm Sunday. It was a day that Jesus spent with his friends. It was a day that he spent with his friends as they journeyed to Jerusalem together. And it would be 4 nights later as he and his friends gathered again in the upper room, about 120 or so. He began to share with them what the last day was going to be like. And it's from that time that we have been studying this in this Abide series, John chapter 15. And today we come to John chapter 15, verse 12. And he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. You see, church, today the first thing we need to understand is that friends love. Jesus knew what lay ahead in the days leading up. He knew what was next. He knew what tomorrow was going to hold. He knew that just in a matter of hours, Judas was going to betray him with a kiss, and Peter was going to deny that he even knew him at all. He knew that. But in this moment, he talks to his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You see, he started that night by washing the disciples' feet and saying, I have made an example for you to follow. And in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's Easter. And we do all kind of stuff in the church. We eat pancakes. We're going to have breakfast next Sunday morning. It's a time to celebrate with family and friends, isn't it? But what are we celebrating for? We're celebrating the fact that Jesus loved us enough to leave heaven and come to earth and be our sacrifice. That's what we're celebrating this morning. You see, friends love. But there's an interesting thing that Jesus says here. And as I've been studying this passage, it just really lit me up this week. You ever just been reading the Bible and something hits you and it just lit you up like a lantern? You know, like getting struck by lightning? Well, that's what happened to me this week. Look at what it says in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is interesting, that word love, and John uses that word love in the Greek, that's agapeo, which is agape love, God's love, unconditional love. And that's an interesting term. You see, Jesus loves the world unconditionally. John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world. That means unconditional. That unconditional love means that even if you hate me, even if you reject me, even if you crucify me, I love you unconditionally, right? And he says, my commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. If you are friends, if we are family, we are to love one another unconditionally. Ever had a family member hurt you? Ever had a family member say something that may just kind of stuck you, right? But we love them unconditionally because they're family. You see, that's who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to his loved ones. He's talking to his family. But then in verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now that word friends is interesting. That word friends is literally another word for love in the Greek language. It's phileo. It's family love. He says literally, I am laying down my life for those I love, for my friends. Do you know that Jesus calls us his friends, but there is not anything recorded in Scripture of anyone calling Jesus their friend? You know why? Because Jesus is not our friend. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is who we worship. But he is our friend. You know why? Because he loves us unconditionally. So what's Jesus saying? Is greater love than this, that one laid down his life for his friends? That word friends, if you study the Greek word, it literally means family. It literally means my people, those closest to me. When you go and study the word kiss, John uses the same word for friend, phileo. It's a derivative of the same word. Now think to Friday night. Judas. How did Judas betray Jesus? With a kiss. And what did Jesus say? Friend. The one I love, do what you came for. You see, friends love. Judas wasn't Jesus' friend. Judas wanted to use Jesus for his own ends. Judas wanted to use Jesus for his own personal reasons. Oh, well, wait a minute now. You want to get on Judas, but let's stop and think. How many of us have been riding a Jesus train just so we can go to heaven when we die? You're going to betray him with a kiss?
Because you see, loving Jesus is a lot more than going to heaven when I die. Loving Jesus is following Jesus right here now today, every day that I live. That's why when we baptize people here, we ask them three questions. You heard it several times today. Do you know that Jesus lives in your heart? Yes. Is it your desire to love Jesus with all of your heart? Yes. Is it your desire to follow Jesus every day that you live? Yes. Then I baptize you. You know why? You know why we say, is it my desire? It's because how many of us in here love Jesus and we failed at times? Can I get a witness? Amen. Okay? We're not perfect. But friends love. Friends come back to Jesus. Friends recognize that I'm missing my connection with my friend and I love him and I miss that relationship. You see, when Jesus used the word friends, he's talking about those who love him back. That's why we call them friends, right? You call acquaintances acquaintances. You know them. But people you call friends, why do you call them friends? You call them friends because hopefully they love you back, right? Have a friend right now. Y'all met him several times. Eric Sasser, my good friend. We went several years and didn't even see each other because life just kind of parted us. You know what I'm saying? We had things going on. But the moment we reconnected, it was like we'd never missed a beat. Because you know why? He's my friend and I love him and I'm his friend and he loves me. And you know who calls me every day to see how Leslie's doing? My friend. How is she today? How are you today? How can I pray for you today? You know who calls him a couple times a week? His friend. I do. Because friends love one another. Look across the aisle, church. Church is packed today. You're among friends. Do you love them? Is there a place in your heart where bitterness has taken root or frustration has taken root? Today's the day to let that go. Ask Jesus to forgive you, repent of that, and reconnect with your friends. Because you see, the first thing friends do is they love one another. The second thing friends do, or friends of Jesus do, is they follow him. Look what he says. You are my friends, verse 14, if you do what I command you. Now that sounds kind of bossy. If you want to know the truth about it, doesn't it? It sounds kind of bossy to me. You're not my friend if you don't do what I command you. But guess what? Jesus understood friends respond to one another. Friends follow. Jesus didn't just tell them to do something and not give them an explanation. Jesus had even spent time explaining to them in detail what was going to happen when they went to Jerusalem. He took time. He told them over and over, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. The chief priests are going to arrest me. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. He told them this at least three times that we have recorded in Scripture, and probably more if he's as thick as, if the rest of them are as thick as we are, it probably took 8 or 10 times. That's just, John just got tired of writing it down. But friends, follow. You know, we give Thomas a hard time. We call him Doubting Thomas, remember? But the moment Jesus said, let us go to Lazarus, what did Thomas say? Let us go with him that we may die with him. You see, friends follow. Thomas loved Jesus. He didn't understand everything, but he loved Jesus, and so he wanted to follow. He wanted to be where Jesus was. Friends follow. Friends obey Jesus' commands. Well, what are Jesus' commands? They're pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's it. He even told us in Matthew chapter 11, that his burden is easy and his yoke is light. He's not trying to weigh us down. He's trying to set us free. But as his friends, those who love Jesus back. You see, it's one thing for me to love someone and not receive it back from them. That's the world. Jesus said, Romans 5:8, what? While we were still sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Christ loved us, right? And he didn't expect the world to love him back. He said that the world was going to reject him, that the world was going to crucify him. But he expected his disciples to follow him. So much so, when they arrived in Galilee, he gave them a job to do. You see, the second thing, the third thing friends do today, friends love first, friends follow. Look, following Jesus is a daily thing. It's an hourly, moment by moment thing. Everybody take a breath. I needed that. I don't know about you. Everybody take a breath. That is what following Jesus is like. It should be like the air we breathe. It should be so natural that nobody even knows us any differently than following Jesus. Just we need to follow Him, and we have a desire to follow Him just like we have a desire to breathe. Is that easy to do or hard to do? Depends on the day, doesn't it? You see, a couple weeks ago, I was finding it pretty hard to follow Jesus. I was spending a lot of time in doctor's offices and in chemo rooms and oncology doctors, and it seemed like every phone call we got was bad news. But you see, friends love and follow in the bad news. Friends don't turn their back on the one they love because the news isn't good. And there came a moment when we got a phone call, and it was the nurse on the other end. We've been waiting for the nurse to call us. If the doctor calls you, the news is bad. If the nurse calls you, must be something good. We've been talking to the doctor way too much. The nurse calls Gail. We know her name. That's how much we talk to her. Gail called and she said, "Leslie, I got good news. Your numbers have dropped significantly." Friday morning, we got another phone call. "Leslie, I got good news. Those numbers are still dropping." You see, it's easy to love Him when the news is good, but what about when the news is bad, church? It's not easy to love and follow when the news is difficult, is it? But you follow Him long enough, and you'll get that phone call. Miss Layton got that phone call. Time to go home. Thursday night, at 9 o'clock, she got a phone call. It had been a difficult few weeks, hadn't it? Time to go home. Was that good news? It was good news for her. Now we're struggling. Good news for her. Friends love and friends follow even when it's hard. Even when it's difficult, even when we don't understand. The disciples are sitting in that upper room listening to Jesus talk, and they are as confused as anybody has ever been in this world before. They didn't understand what He was saying, but all they knew was that "I love that man." That's all they knew. But you see, when it comes down to it, friends not only love and follow, friends serve one another. Do you know that? How many of y'all got a friend that borrows all your stuff? How many of y'all got a friend or family member that when you need your stuff, you got to go to his house to get it? Because friends borrow. Friends serve one another. Friends, you know, that's how we live. Jesus didn't call the lost world to serve Him. Jesus didn't call the lost world to celebrate Palm Sunday. Jesus didn't call the lost world to celebrate Easter. Jesus called His friends and family to celebrate Easter. Jesus calls us because we love Him, or at least we're supposed to. Friends, how do we show that love? We serve. You see, Jesus, as He's getting ready to ascend back to the Father, He gave His disciples, those whom He loved, a commission. He says, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them.'" We did that this morning. Amen. "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We did it right. "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What did He say there? "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for those he loves. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Do you know what it means to lay down your life for someone? Most of us get the picture of jumping in front of a bullet and taking a bullet for somebody. But that's not what it means. It means to set my life aside and to put my friend first. It means to take what I want and set it aside and do what they want me to do. It means to quit following myself and follow them and serve them. That's what he's asking us to do here in the Great Commission. His commandment is for us to serve him. If you love me, serve me, show me. Put your life aside and make me first. That's Jesus' call. There's a lot of folks up in here who want to go to heaven when we die, right? We do that by loving, following, and serving him. That's the proof that we love him, is it not? That's what he said. Don't get mad at the messenger today. It got awful quiet in here all of a sudden. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. Your fruit should remain. What is that fruit? It's the fruit of a life that loves, follows, and serves. And that fruit remains eternally. It never dies. You know why? Because we're loving and following and serving Jesus. And he's eternal. That means his fruit's eternal. You know what? Those houses, they're going to rot. Those cars, they're going to rust. Those careers, they're going to go away. That money is going to end up burnt up somewhere or in interest, one of the two. Or the government's going to get it. Simple. And when you die, somebody else is going to get all that you had. So why do we worry ourselves chasing all of those things when Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay aside his life and make me first. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You see, church, we baptized a bunch of people this morning, and I'm excited about that. That's just the first part of the job. Now the work starts. Did you see some of them kids we baptized? They got to be taught. They got to be loved. They got to be discipled. You see those dads up there? They got to be encouraged. They got to be empowered. They got to be equipped to do the work that God has called them to do. We got a lot of serving to do if we're going to show Jesus that we love him and expect him to keep blessing us with the opportunity to see new life start among our families. We got a lot of work to do. And it's going to mean that we set ourselves aside and put him first. That we lay down our life and take up his. And I can't wait to see what happens as we do it. Amen? I want to challenge you today, church. Friends, love. Friends, follow. And friends, serve. And we put ourselves aside and we follow Jesus, because that's what he asked us to do. And that's what he said would show that we are his friends. He says, when we do that, we'll bear fruit, and that whatever we ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I've seen that in my very own life in the last 2 weeks. God answering the prayers of his people on behalf of my family, my friends. Who is it that we need to reach out to on behalf of our friends that they might see him work in their lives too? Because see, the other thing friends don't do, friends don't give up. On that Friday, the only disciple that stood at the cross was the one that penned our gospel, John. Everyone else had abandoned him. Everyone else had left him. Everyone else had gone back home. But you see, Jesus didn't give up. And by the time he rose from the grave, there they were, gathered back in that upper room, praying and waiting to see Jesus. Have you seen him today? I've seen him all over this place today. I've seen his silhouette walking these very pews this morning. Have you seen him? Let's love. Let's follow. And let's serve. And thereby show ourselves to be friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth of your scripture this morning. Thank you for the joy of knowing that you count us as friends when we love, follow, and serve you. And so, Father, today I pray if there's one here today who's never made that commitment to know you personally, to know you intimately, to walk with you daily, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would reach out to you and say, Lord, I know that my sin has separated me from you. And I know that I need you to come in and take over my life that I might live with you forever. Today is the day of salvation. On Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, the one who saves. Lord, you are that one, and we are your people. Would you do in us today what only you can do and lead us to love, follow, and serve you all the days that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you know that you've never made that commitment to love, follow, and serve Jesus. If you want to talk about what that's about, I'll be right down front. You don't have to talk to me. You can talk to Jesus. He's available 24/7.